Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.
From New York and Geneva, Switzerland, this is Democracy Now!
It is really quite disgusting that you give tax breaks to people who don't need it. You throw 16 million people off the health care that they have. You cut nutrition programs for hungry kids. You make it harder for working class young people to afford to go to college. This is really an obscene piece of legislation.
Senate Republicans are racing to push through President Trump's massive 940-page long so-called Big Beautiful Bill. If passed, the richest Americans and corporations will receive huge tax breaks, and a projected 12 million Americans will lose their health care. We'll speak to David Dane, editor of The American Prospect, and Dr. Adam Gaffney, former president of Physicians for a National Health Program. And then to the Supreme Court.
I want to thank Justice Barrett, who wrote the opinion brilliantly, as well as Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Thomas. Great people. Thanks for this decision, and thanks to this decision, we can now promptly file to proceed with numerous policies that have been wrongly enjoined on a nationwide basis.
The blockbuster term ended Friday with another 6-3 decision by the conservative majority that significantly limits the ability of lower courts to be a check on presidential power. We'll talk to Dahlia Lithwick of Slate and ACLU attorney Chase Strangio. And in the Human Rights Council in Geneva, a Sahrawi tent of cultural resistance has been erected, made from the dresses of 19 Sahrawi human rights defenders from the occupied Western Sahara.
And Khaymitna is actually a mini version of the tent where I grew up in the Sahrawi refugee camps. So this is very a mini version of it. And this is a storytelling, a human rights storytelling project, which both convey the story of Sahrawis, their identity and their culture.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Tens of thousands of Palestinians fled central and northern Gaza on Sunday after Israel issued new forced evacuation orders and began bombing eastern parts of Gaza City. Israel's stepped-up campaign follows another bloody weekend that saw scores of Palestinian civilians killed, including children huddled in tents, families taking shelter at a sports stadium, and starving Palestinians seeking food at militarized aid distribution sites. In Jabalia, rescue teams pulled at least 15 bodies from the rubble of a home leveled by an Israeli airstrike Sunday morning.
Today they forced us to leave, ordered us to evacuate, and then bombed us with shells and warplanes. Just as we were about to flee, they brought our homes down on us. What do they want from us? Let them tell us what they want. Enough is enough. About 10 people were killed in the house, most of them children.
Earlier today, 10 Palestinians were killed as they sought to collect food at an aid site in Gaza City. Two more were shot dead at an aid distribution center in Rafah. The killings came after Haaretz reported Israeli officers and soldiers said they were ordered to fire at unarmed crowds near food distribution sites in Gaza, even when no threat was present. Gaza's health ministry reports such attacks have killed over 500 Palestinians since May. Meanwhile, an Israeli court in Jerusalem has canceled hearings this week in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's trial, where he faces charges of bribery, fraud and breach of trust. The court's decision came just days after President Trump called for the charges to be thrown out. Russia launched hundreds of drones and missiles at Ukraine overnight Sunday in what Kyiv is calling Russia's largest aerial assault since its full-scale invasion. The attacks killed at least four civilians and targeted regions far from the front lines, including in western Ukraine, prompting Poland and its NATO allies to scramble jets along the border. Separately, Ukraine's Air Force said a pilot died when his F-16 jet crashed. Meanwhile, Russia's military said it seized more settlements in Ukraine's east. And for the first time, Russian forces have occupied a village in the east-central Dnipropetrovsk region. In Kyiv, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky signed a decree Sunday withdrawing Ukraine from the Ottawa Convention, which bans the use of landmines.
This concerns all those countries which border Russia. Anti-personnel mines are the instrument which often cannot be substituted by something else for defense purposes.
On Friday, the governments of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia announced they too would withdraw from the mine ban treaty following similar moves by Finland and Poland. Meanwhile, Denmark has expanded its military draft to include women for the first time. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that lower court judges will no longer have the power to issue nationwide injunctions, not even to stop the president from taking illegal actions. The case stems from Trump's attempts to bar birthright citizenship, a right guaranteed under the 14th Amendment. After three federal judges blocked Trump's executive order, the Trump administration sought emergency relief from the Supreme Court. On Friday, the court's far-right majority granted that relief in a 6-3 ruling, severely curtailing the power of district and appellate judges to prevent the government from enforcing laws or policies that violate the Constitution. The ruling overturns decades of precedent. In a scathing dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote, quote, "No right is safe in the new legal regime the court creates. Today, the threat is to birthright citizenship. Tomorrow, a different administration may try to seize firearms from law-abiding citizens or prevent people of certain faiths from gathering to worship," she said. In a separate ruling Friday, the Supreme Court sided with parents in Maryland who objected to LGBTQ+ books in schools on religious grounds. We'll have more on the Supreme Court later in the broadcast. On Capitol Hill, senators are debating President Trump's 940-page so-called Big Beautiful Bill following an all-night session that stretched into Monday morning. Republicans are racing to meet a Trump-imposed July 4th deadline to sign the package into law. The Senate Republican version of the legislation makes deeper cuts to Medicaid and health care, with the Congressional Budget Office estimating some 11.8 million people will lose coverage as Republicans propose more than $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid alone. The CBO also warns the current bill will increase the U.S. debt deficit by an estimated $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Meanwhile, the legislation not only ends subsidies for renewable power sources, but would see a new tax applied to solar and wind projects. Senator Bernie Sanders spoke out against the bill in a social media post Sunday.
It is really quite disgusting that you give tax breaks to people who don't need it. You throw 16 million people off the health care that they have. You cut nutrition programs for hungry kids. You make it harder for working class young people to afford to go to college. This is really an obscene piece of legislation.
We'll have more on the Republican budget reconciliation bill after headlines. North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis said Sunday he will not seek re-election when his term expires next year. Tillis's announcement came after he refused to support Trump's budget reconciliation bill in a procedural vote on Saturday. That prompted an angry response from President Trump, who took to social media to hurl insults at Senator Tillis while threatening to support a primary challenger. The Trump administration said Friday it's terminating temporary protected status, or TPS, for over 500,000 immigrants from Haiti who will face deportation when the relief is set to end in September. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem claimed Haiti is safe and no longer meets the requirements for TPS as conditions have improved in the country. Haitians first received the relief following the devastating 2010 earthquake. Since then, worsening gang violence and political instability, fueled by foreign intervention, has led to a worsening humanitarian crisis in Haiti. According to the International Organization for Migration, as of May, more than 1.3 million people in Haiti are internally displaced, many fleeing armed gangs that now control most of Port-au-Prince. Gerline Joseph, executive director of Haitian Bridge Alliance, said in a statement, quote, sending back hundreds of thousands of people to a country overrun by gangs, where hospitals are shuttered and food is scarce, is a direct assault on black immigrant communities. It's not about policy. It's about dehumanization. This comes as a San Diego federal judge ruled Friday that the Trump administration cannot deport thousands of asylum-seeking families who were separated under Trump's first term and are plaintiffs in a settled lawsuit against the federal government. ACLU attorney Lee Gallant, who represents the families, said the administration has provided no information on plaintiffs who have been detained or removed from the U.S. The ACLU confirmed at least one child who was separated from his parents under Trump's so-called zero-tolerance policy had already been deported. U.S. District Judge Dana Sabro earlier this month found the Trump administration had already violated terms of the 2023 settlement. Over 1,000 immigrant children taken from their parents in Trump's first term still have not been reunited with their families. The president of the University of Virginia has stepped down under pressure from the Trump administration. Amid a Justice Department investigation into its diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. The abrupt resignation of President James Ryan on Friday came after the Justice Department threatened to block all federal funds to UVA if Ryan remained in office. That's despite the fact that the university's governing board voted last March to close its DEI office and end all diversity policies in admissions, employment, and financial aid. The Trump administration says it is ending the 2001 Roadless Area Conservation Rule, which protects nearly 60 million acres in the national forest system from logging and the construction of new roads. The environmental law group Earth Justice has promised a legal challenge. The Sierra Club's forest campaign blasted the decision, writing, quote, once again, the Trump administration is ignoring the voices of millions of Americans to pursue a corporate giveaway for Trump's billionaire buddies. Canada's government scrapped a 3% tax on technology companies' revenue on Sunday, mere hours before it was due to take effect. The reversal came after President Trump said Friday he would pause U.S.-Canada trade talks and would set a new tariff rate on Canadian goods within the next week. Canada's digital services tax would have raised billions of dollars of revenue annually from U.S. tech giants like Amazon, Meta, and Apple. And millions of people across the globe took to the streets to mark Pride celebrations over the weekend, with many defying government crackdowns on LGBTQ plus communities. In Turkey, police arrested over 50 people Sunday ahead of a banned Pride march in Istanbul. In Hungary, Saturday's march drew an estimated 100,000 people in what is being described as the largest LGBTQ plus Pride celebration in Hungarian history. The peaceful gathering came as an act of defiance against Prime Minister Viktor Orban and his government's anti-LGBTQ plus policies.
It is this year that the situation got so toxic in Hungary, including in Budapest, that now we need to make our voices heard a little more loudly, I think. Definitely peacefully, but we need to be present and need to be out in the streets.
Here in New York, an estimated 1 million people joined Pride celebrations over the weekend. As the gatherings wound down Sunday night, two teens were shot and injured near the historic Stonewall Inn, site of the 1969 uprising that launched the LGBTQ rights movement. No arrests have been made. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh in New York, joined by Amy Goodman in Geneva. Hi, Amy.
Hello, Narmeen, and hello to all of our listeners and viewers and readers around the United States and around the world. Yes, I am in Geneva, Switzerland, broadcasting from the UN Human Rights Council. We're going to go to the council at the end of the broadcast, but we're going to begin now in the United States. Yes, right here, in an all-night session that will stretch until today, senators have begun debate on President Trump's 940-page so-called Big Beautiful Bill. That's the budget bill. As Republicans race to meet a Trump-imposed July 4th deadline and are set to vote on key amendments. This comes after a procedural vote this weekend was delayed for hours as Republicans hashed out details before a 51-49 vote that saw two Republicans join all the Democrats in opposition. Rand Paul of Kentucky and Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina also announced, Tom Tillis announced, he does not plan to seek re-election. Tillis spoke on the Senate floor.
It's inescapable that this bill in its current form will betray the very promise that Donald J. Trump made.
The Senate Republicans' version of the bill makes deeper cuts to Medicaid and health care, even after Trump vowed not to touch Medicaid. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates nearly 12 million people will lose care under the current version of the bill, especially children, people with disabilities, and senior citizens. Meanwhile, the CBO says the bill will add at least $3.3 trillion to the already bulging national debt over a decade. Speaking from the Senate floor, independent Senator Bernie Sanders called it the most dangerous piece of legislation in modern U.S. history.
Actually, though, Mr. President, I'm wrong. This is not a gift to the billionaire class. They paid for it. This bill is an absolute reflection of a corrupt campaign finance system which allows billionaires to buy elections. And when billionaires spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars trying to elect a president or a senator or a member of Congress, they're not making that investment just for the fun of it. They want something in return, and this legislation, big time, is what they are getting in return.
Ahead of today's Votorama on amendments in the bill, which includes some $4 trillion in tax cuts, Senator Bernie Sanders spoke out again in a post on social media Sunday evening.
It is really quite disgusting that you give tax breaks to people who don't need it. You throw 16 million people off the health care that they have. You cut nutrition programs for hungry kids. You make it harder for working class young people to afford to go to college. This is really an obscene piece of legislation.
Meanwhile, on Sunday, the Senate parliamentarian ruled against two key carve-outs on Medicaid spending for senators in Alaska and Hawaii. And it's now unclear how Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski will vote. For more, we're joined by two guests. David Dane is executive editor of The American Prospect, where his latest piece is headlined, Murkowski's Alaska Gold Rush Loses Some Gold Plating. And in Boston, we're joined by Dr. Adam Gaffney, a critical care physician and professor at Harvard Medical School. He just published an analysis in the Annals of Internal Medicine that showed how provisions in the House version of the bill passed last month, including Medicaid work requirements, would lead to the loss of coverage for millions. Gaffney is also the immediate past president of Physicians for National Health Program. Welcome back to Democracy Now! To both of you. David Dane, let's begin with you. If you could elaborate on what the key provisions in this bill are and what the implications might be in the event that it's passed.
Well, it's going to affect every American, pretty much. What you have here is an extension of the Trump tax cuts from 2017. They were primarily targeted to the wealthy. Then you add in new tax cuts that were pitched by Donald Trump during the campaign. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, along with a lot of business tax cuts that the Senate wanted to make permanent. That massive tax cuts is what creates this huge gap in terms of the deficit. But on top of that, you have the largest ever cut of Medicaid in American history. You have the largest ever cut to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in American history. You have a change to higher education, particularly student loans, that will make getting an education become more expensive. And then you'll see not only the loss of most clean energy tax credits, but new taxes that have been described as a kill shot for solar and wind, and we should expect much higher electricity costs and rolling blackouts. Meanwhile, there are the tax credits for the kind of coal that is used in steel, and there's a big tax break for big oil that would allow domestic oil drillers to not pay any taxes at all. So you put that all together, and it's almost hard to take in and describe, but basically, you have Republicans taking food and medicine and other things away from vulnerable people in order to finance tax cuts for the rich. And that's really the bottom line.
David Dane, before we go to Dr. Adam Gaffney to talk about the stunning, horrifying tax cuts to Medicaid, I wanted to ask you about this point you made. It's not only about cutting tax breaks to encourage, you know, tax incentives to encourage renewables. It's actually increasing taxes on them. Explain the poison pill here.
That's correct. The tax credits that are being cut are all from the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And those gave incentives to produce and install renewable energy. Those are all going away. But there is this new tax on solar and wind, that they can only get out of if they show they are not using any materials that are produced by a so-called foreign entity of concern. This really means China. It only gives 2 years. Basically, these taxes would start in 2027. And right now, supply chains for solar and wind energy at least have some component that is Chinese. And so there's very little time to create a domestic supply chain, especially because the production tax credits for the domestic solar manufacturers are going away. So it makes it harder to build those factories. So, people in the industry have said that this is going to make it really cost ineffective to build solar and wind products. And those projects are probably going to go away. You're talking about multiple gigawatts of projects that are going to go out of business. They aren't going to be built. And this is at a time when, because of data centers and because of increased electricity demand, we need those products, that projects that can be spun up quickly. And so that is why the expectation is for much higher electricity costs and possibly rolling blackouts, because the grid simply can't handle the demand that we have right now. And if we can't quickly build new energy sources, we're going to face a shortfall.
So let's bring Dr. Adam Gaffney into this conversation, a professor at Harvard Medical School, a critical care physician, a past president of Physicians for a National Health Program, and author of To Heal Humankind, hardly what this bill is about. But if you can talk about, well, you just came out with a new study in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and talk about Medicaid. How is it that people were thinking that the Senate wasn't going to move forward on massive Medicaid cuts, but what this means in terms of lives and who exactly is targeted as trillions of dollars in tax breaks are being offered to America's wealthiest?
Well, look, these cuts to Medicaid would be absolutely devastating to the American healthcare safety net. And the the implications of that are exactly as what you'd expect. As you said, nearly 12 million people would lose health coverage as a result of the Senate bill, even more than the House bill. In our study, we estimate this translates to, 1.9 million Americans losing their doctor, 1.3 million Americans going without needed medications, 1.2 million Americans being saddled with medical debt, 380,000 women not going without their needed mammograms, and biggest of all, we estimate more than 16,500 deaths annually as a result of the coverage losses that would be inflicted by the so-called Big Beautiful Bill Act. These are not surprising results. We know that modern medical care saves lives, but they are very disturbing results. And they speak to the fact that the lives of working class Americans are being weighed as less important than tax cuts for billionaires. It's quite disturbing.
And Dr. Gaffney, indeed, these are the largest reductions in Medicaid since it was created in 1965. So if you could just explain, who are the principal beneficiaries of Medicaid and who will become ineligible if this bill were to pass?
Medicaid covers low-income Americans across demographic groups, chronically ill, disabled, people who require long-term care, including the elderly, children, pregnant people, and many, many working age adults. Probably the biggest impact would fall on that last group. The Medicaid work requirements, the so-called Medicaid work requirements, would impose a giant bundle of red tape between Americans and their health care, probably causing around 5 million to become uninsured. These are the casualties of red tape because most of these individuals are either working or have a very good reason not to work, like they're too sick or they're taking care of a child. So you will see coverage losses in multiple groups, but many of them will fall on working age folks. But again, there are, for instance, elderly individuals who rely on Medicaid to keep down the cost of their medications. They would be impacted. And really a very wide variety. Don't forget, too, it's not only Medicaid cuts. There's also changes to the Affordable Care Act marketplace plans, so-called Obamacare plans, that would make millions more lose coverage on top of what we looked at, which was just Medicaid. So you're looking at a lot of people.
And Dr. Gaffney, you've also pointed out that this will have not only massively injurious effects to the people who are on Medicaid, but also on hospital providers, rural hospitals, doctors, nurses. If you could explain how.
Sure. Well, listen, many hospitals in this country focus on the care of disadvantaged groups. Poor people, people in rural areas, as you said. And as a result, these hospitals rely on Medicaid for their revenues, for their operating revenues. So what happens when you take a sledgehammer to that foundation? We know what happens. They have to make cuts. They have to cut staff. They have to cut services or, in a worst case scenario, even close. And this is compounding an already existing problem where there isn't the healthcare infrastructure that we need in more disadvantaged areas. So this means that people will be affected even who don't lose coverage. Even those of us who don't rely on Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act could be impacted if the hospital in our area closes and we have no access to care. So this bill would really devastate, again, the American healthcare safety net, such as it is. I would only add, it's important to recognize this is on top of existing problems in our healthcare system. I'm a critical care doctor. I work in the ICU. I see patients with life-threatening complications of untreated illness because they didn't get care because they couldn't afford it. What happens when we add to that number massively? You'll have many more of those sorts of patients winding up in the ICUs of doctors like me, and it was not necessary.
David Dane, we just have about 30 seconds, but what happens next? It's really hard to follow the meanderings of this bill. Do you see it going down? You have Tom Tillis saying he's retiring under tremendous pressure from President Trump. What's going to happen here?
Well, the Senate's going to vote all day on amendments, perhaps even into tonight and tomorrow morning. There are some key senators to watch: Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski. Murkowski from Alaska got a number of perks in the bill, including a special tax break for whaling captains in Alaska. We're going to see if, because some of those perks were stripped away, including all of the Medicaid boosts that were put in for Alaska. So we're going to see if she holds to that deal. Collins has said she's leaning no, but pending amendments. So we'll see if she gets amendments. And then the House, both the Freedom Caucus, the hard right hardliners who want to see less deficits and debt, and also some of the moderates who don't want to see these Medicaid cuts, have also spoken out against it. So there's still a needle to thread here for Republicans. But you have to expect that a bill that extends a bunch of tax cuts